Part of this series that I'm going to go into starting today is going to be a little bit different than what I usually do. So typically, what I go through is just simply books of the Bible, right? So we've, you know, last time we went through the book of Galatians. Previously, we've been through other books of the Bible, and typically I just go verse by verse through that, and it's called expository preaching, basically meaning that the Bible, we study it, and basically what comes up verse to verse is what we learn. You know, I want to teach what is coming out of the Bible. It's what does the Bible say? And that's what we learn throughout our time here. Every Sunday, we want to go through different parts of Scripture. And, you know, I do think that is really the best way to learn, and for at least for me to continue preaching, I think that is the best way for a church to grow is through expository preaching. And so I want to continue doing that. But over the next, you know, I would say about 4 or 5 weeks or so, what I'm going to do is going to concentrate and focus on a topical series called Worldview. Now, a topical series is a little bit different than expository in that it really just focuses on a specific topic and then asks the question, what does the Bible have to say about blank, about this topic, right? And so over the next few weeks or so, I'm going to preach on certain topics that I think are relevant to us today, that I think are important for us today, things, issues that we have to think through, and especially thinking through them in not just a kind of a way where we just want to kind of spew out our own opinion, but think about them in a biblical way. Right? What does the Bible have to say about these particular issues, and I think hopefully that'll be helpful for you. I know it's challenging for me because, you know, truthfully, it is much more difficult to preach on topics than it is just through the Bible. You know, I think I don't think I'm very culturally relevant, so I have to figure out what is happening in the world and studying, and then, you know, also looking deeply into the Word for that. So, just to kind of give you a preview, we're actually not gonna preach any. I'm not going to preach on a particular topic today, but some things that we have to look forward to are things like justice and mercy. What does the Bible have to say about justice and mercy? What does the Bible have to say about gender and sexuality? What about the dignity of life? What about mental illness? I know these are sometimes considered controversial topics, and you know, some of you may take offense to what is being said, but if you take offense to it, it might be a good thing, because I'm not trying to be offensive. It is from the Word. And, you know, I think if we dig into the Word, sometimes we will be offended. And I will be offended, you will be offended, because it goes against our nature. It goes against what we think we should say is right. And so we have to be challenged. So, you know, if you are offended, you know, take some time to think on it and dwell on it and see, well, what is God trying to teach me through these kinds of topics? So, you know, hopefully that'll be helpful for you. And it is really my hope and prayer that, you know, we all learn from this. But today, what I'm going to talk about is kind of a general framework for what we're going to learn. And it's called worldview. And the reason it's called worldview is because we have this general perspective when it comes to certain things. We all have that perspective. And in order for us to approach certain topics in a wise manner, we have to go at it with a particular worldview. So that's what we want to learn today. But before we go into that, let me pray for us and ask God for wisdom. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that you are good. And you want to teach us and mold us and make us more like Jesus Christ. And sometimes that will go against our nature, our sinful nature. But Lord, thank you that you have given us the Holy Spirit, and now we have the spirit nature within us fighting so that we may honor you and glorify you. Father, I pray that you would mold our minds to renew it. Father, I pray, Lord, that you would also give us the ability to let go of our sin, let go of the things that we're holding on to that are not of you. So challenge us, make us to be better men and women as we continually look into your word to test it and to see what is right, to see what your will is. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So I have 3 points. The first thing that I want to do is first is to explain what is worldview. Right, what is worldview? I have 3 definitions for you that I want to read just so that we can start getting a grasp of how we can frame this conversation. First, worldview is an all-encompassing perspective on everything that exists and matters to us. Secondly, worldview is a particular philosophy of life or conception of the world. And thirdly, worldview is a theory of the world used for living in the world. Basically, worldview is how we come to understand and interpret the world around us. And depending on your worldview, you will answer all of life's questions differently, depending on your worldview. So these questions could be like this. Who are we? That's a big question. Where do we come from? Why do we exist? What is our purpose? How should we live? And depending on your worldview, you're going to answer each of these questions differently. That's why we have to understand worldview in the right way, because the way we think about the issues that we face today are dependent on where we start from, where we're starting from, this idea of worldview. You can have the same exact issue, right? And we see this all throughout the world. You can have the same exact issue, and yet people think about that issue in completely different ways, sometimes on complete opposite ends of the spectrum, right? That's how we see arguments happening and discussions and debates. Same thing, the same thing we're talking about, and people have completely different conclusions. You know, I have an illustration for this from February 2015. You guys remember this on Facebook when this came out? It's called, on Wikipedia, it's called The Dress. I'll read it for you. About a week before the wedding of couple Grace and Keir Johnston in Colonsay, Scotland, the bride's mother, Cecilia, took a photograph of a dress she planned to wear to the wedding and sent it to her daughter. After disagreements over the perceived color of the dress in the photograph, the bride posted the image on Facebook, and her friends also disagreed over the color. Some saw it as white and gold, while others saw it as blue with black lace. Now, this may seem it's a little off, but there was a whole argument. There was the same picture of a dress that was posted on Facebook, and there are 2 sides. One was saying, oh, that's definitely blue and black. The other side was saying, no, that's definitely white and gold. And they were so sure of their conclusion that there were constantly just arguments and fighting over it. Because, you know, you think about it, and color is something that you really can't argue about. It is what it is. But people were saying, how in the world are you seeing it in this color? This is the same exact image. And people take away 2 completely different conclusions. I mean, it is black and blue, right, everyone? Okay, I think we see that here. Good. We're all on the same page, at least. Wow, we have no disagreements here in this church. No? Okay. All right. Well, you guys can disagree about it later. All right. But in any case, when most people don't realize they have a worldview, right? They don't know how to think about issues from a different perspective, right? But the problem is, or the fact is, everyone does have a worldview. And your worldview will determine what you believe to be good and bad. Your worldview will determine what you believe to be right and wrong. You know, what is possible, what is impossible, all these things. And that's why we can have 2 different people being adamant about what is right and wrong. You know, one way to think about it is wearing a certain shade color of glasses, right? And if you wear that shade color of glasses, you walk around, and if you wear rose-tinted glasses, you see everything in a rosy color, right? The world is shaped in a certain way because of the glasses that you're wearing. If someone is wearing a different shade, they're going to see it in that way. Everybody has a worldview, and it's that worldview that really plays a central role in their lives, because all the decisions that we make will be based on our worldview. So What are the different worldviews out there? I'm going to give you a few examples. This is not a comprehensive list, but in reality, just something that some of the worldviews that tend to come up within the world, these patterns of thinking. First thing is naturalism. Naturalism is a philosophy. There's no God, and the only reality is what we can physically sense, you know, the five senses, right? We can physically sense those things. Those are the things that are real. If we cannot sense it with our senses, then it does not exist. Only that which can be scientifically proven is real. And additionally, since we are a product of chance and evolution, ultimately there is no higher purpose, there is no ultimate meaning. It is simply that we exist, right? Just to kind of give you an example, I'm not going to do this for all of them, but let's take the case of morality. In a naturalistic perspective and worldview, morality is relative, right? Based on the situation. Morality is not a fixed thing, but it is a relative issue. What was morally good yesterday may change tomorrow, right? So we see moral can change depending on the circumstance, depending on the situation, depending on the time that you live in. Based on how we evolve, morality changes. That's naturalism. Secondly, there's pantheism, which is all is God. All of reality is divinity. Meaning we are God, the plants are God, animals are God, everything around us is God. You know, for the pantheistic worldview, morality is based on the fact that we are all one. So you see this typically when we think about karma, right? Everything comes around. If all is one, then we believe in karma because everything is connected. Even when you die, you're going to come up again somehow in some different shape or form. That's the pantheistic model. Thirdly, there's postmodernism, which is the philosophy that there is no objective truth or standard. Reality is a human construction, and therefore it's malleable. And, you know, if you think about our day and age over the past, I don't know how many years now, 20, 30 years, we've lived in a very postmodern society, and we're still in living within that framework where truth is not the most important thing. Right? Before, it used to be whatever is true is right. Now, it's not necessarily whatever's true is right, but everybody has their own truth. So, we must respect everybody's truths, and we can have our own truth, but, you know, we can have two competing different truths that are completely different, right? So, there's no objective standard. There's no one truth, right? All different truths are acceptable, right? That's the postmodern mindset that we live in. In that case, morality is based on personal moral autonomy. It's what I believe is right. Doesn't matter if you believe it. Doesn't matter if, you know, you can prove it to me that this is right. But whatever I believe is right is right. It's personal moral autonomy. We determine what is right or wrong. There's another one called moralistic therapeutic deism. This is a fairly modern term, but this was the idea that God wants us to be happy and nice to others, and he only intervenes when we need him to. You know, I'm going to talk about this a little bit later, but this was coined by a Christian an author who was doing surveys of Christians all across the country, and he found that the people were believing not so much a biblical Christianity, but this was the religion, the philosophy and mindset that they were adhering to, this moralistic therapeutic deism. God is simply someone who wants us to be happy and nice, and he really doesn't make a difference in our lives unless we really need him to be there. And when we really pray because we need that A on that test, or we need to get that job, or whatever, there's moments that we need him, that's when he intervenes. That's moralistic therapeutic deism. And morality in that case is the way we are actually accepted by God, right? So as long as I'm a good and nice person, right, then I will be accepted. I will be able to be saved. Lastly, the worldview, and hopefully this is the worldview that we can all adhere to as we continue to study, is the biblical worldview. God, who is revealed in Scripture is the true God. Morality stems from the fact that God is perfectly good, he is just, he is fair, and because of that, he calls us to live like him, like Christ. See, many more worldviews exist, but some of these worldviews are the ones that we interact with, and so we have to understand them in certain ways. We have to be able to understand these worldviews. So, thirdly, why do worldviews matter? Why do worldviews matter? I'm going to give you two main reasons that I think worldviews matter. The first is that developing and applying a biblical worldview is essential for spiritual growth. So spiritual growth. We must understand worldviews, and they matter because it is essential for spiritual growth. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says this, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God and what is good and acceptable and perfect." I think the key phrase is what? We must be transformed by the renewal of our minds, right? As we grow in faith, we are to continually renew our minds so that we know what it means to live for God. As we develop a biblical worldview, we learn what it means to, we say it this way, to think God's thoughts after him, right? To renew our minds. We are becoming more like Jesus, and having a biblical worldview doesn't simply mean just pointing back to the Bible whenever we have a conversation, just say, "Oh, what's the answer? Just look in the Bible." That's not what I mean by biblical worldview, but that everything is shaped by God. We see the world not from our perspective, but we see the world from God's perspective. That's the worldview. The problem is that there are many competing worldviews that seek to replace it. And that's what we experience in our lives, that we see all these different worldviews that are competing against the biblical worldview, that wants to take that worldview and replace it with their own. Okay. I want to give you the example again with the worldview of moralistic therapeutic deism. Right. Again, author Christian Smith coined this. He conducted a survey of teenage Christians and found that their answer was something like this. I quote this, "God is something like a combination of divine butler and cosmic therapist. He is always on call, takes care of our problems that arise, professionally helps his people to feel better about themselves, and does not become too personally involved in the process." See, this sometimes seems like a biblical worldview because it has the word God in it. But what's happening is that this moralistic therapeutic deism is very different from the God of Scripture. When we look at the Bible, God is not someone who just waits on the outside, waiting for us to call upon him and then comes and enters into our lives. He is here all the time. God is with us now and forever. God is someone who is not only calling us to feel better about ourselves and to be nice to others, but is also calling us to grow in integrity and to change. Sometimes we'll actually have to face suffering. God is actually calling us to do that, to go through persecution and to persevere through it. That's the God of Scripture, not this God. But sometimes we take this, right, and we replace the biblical worldview, the God of the Bible, God of Scripture, and place it with the different worldviews that we want to input and take over our lives with. So it is important, therefore, that as a Christian, you must continually develop and apply a biblical worldview. Let me read for us Colossians chapter 2, 8 through 10. It says, "See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him the fullness, a whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have been filled in him who is the head of all rule and authority." You know, part of the reason that many of these issues we talk about in the coming weeks are controversial is because, as the Apostle Paul says, we have been taken captive by worldly philosophies. Taken captive by worldly philosophies. Rather than listening to God, we begin listening to other people and other voices, and therefore it replaces God's voice. If we are to continually grow in godliness, we must renew our minds with a biblical worldview. And that's what we're going to hopefully do in the next weeks, is to take the biblical worldview and see, what does God have to say about all these things that are happening? Right? Rather than trying to form and take these other philosophies and interpret the world through, whether it's moralistic therapeutic deism or naturalistic worldviews, how do we interpret it from a godly perspective? Secondly, why is worldview important? Because we must understand different worldviews to help us engage others in evangelism. We must understand other worldviews to help us engage others in evangelism. All worldviews interpret the world very differently than God and Scripture. And if we're not aware of these different worldviews, then we cannot effectively share the gospel. You know, I think part of the difficulty, and I don't know if you experience this, but part of the difficulty with evangelism today is that people are now holding on to worldviews that are vastly different from your own. Now, maybe back in the day, there was a time when worldviews were a little bit more similar. So, for example, maybe 1,000 years ago, I could walk into any city and being able to, when I talk to people, I could say, well, we all know and understand that there is a God, right? And they would say, yeah, we all believe that. What's the question? The question is, which God is it? Who do we worship? And then we go through the evangelism process in that way. That's what happened. But that's no longer the case, because as we go around and ask people these questions about who God is and what the biblical worldview is, there is completely different understandings of where they are coming from, where we're coming from, right? There's completely opposite kind of worldviews there. So, rather than saying that Jesus died for your sins, sometimes we have to start from a different place. Because for a person with a naturalistic worldview, if you say that to them, what are they going to respond with? Well, they're going to just close their minds, because there's no way that that would ever be possible in a naturalistic worldview. There's no way. A postmodern response to that would be, what's sin? I feel good about myself. I'm not a sinner. I'm a really good person. You told me Jesus died for my sins. I don't need Jesus to die for my sins. See, these are the kinds of worldviews that you're going to have to interact with in and through evangelism. And if we don't understand that people come from different worldviews, we'll never get to the underlying roots of unbelief. Now, of course, I'm not saying you can't preach the gospel. Of course, we are called to preach the gospel. I think what I'm saying is that we must also understand where people are coming from. And I'll give you a reason for that, because I think that's actually how the Apostle Paul shared the gospel as well. We'll go through it to Acts chapter 17, verse 22 to 25. He says this: so Paul, standing in the midst of the Areopagus, said, "Men of Athens, I perceive that in every way you are very religious. For as I passed along and observed the objects of your worship, I found also an altar with its inscription, 'To the unknown God.' What therefore you worship as unknown, this I proclaim to you: the God who made the world and everything in it, being Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in temples made by man, nor is he served by human hands, as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mankind life and breath and everything." Right, this is a very short observation that we see in Acts of the Apostle Paul sharing the gospel, but at the same time recognizing that people come from different worldviews. He actually acknowledges that. He even quotes later on the Greek poets. Right? He uses their terminology to share the gospel with them. By understanding this perspective, he points out to them, you have a particular worldview that you're coming from, but your worldview is insufficient. Let me show you what is sufficient. Let me show you what actually has the answers. You worship a God that is unknown. Let me introduce you to the God that has known us. And that's the way that he shares. And that's how worldviews can change. It's when you realize the worldview that you hold is not sufficient to answer all the questions. If your worldview can't answer the questions, then what happens? Then you must change your worldview. Let me give you an example. It's like asking someone to move. For most people, if you tell them you need to move, what are you going to say? Wait, what? Why? I don't need to move. That's the worst thing to do right now. You know, comfortable in your house. You know where everything is. There's no reason to leave. Someone asking you to move is ridiculous. And sometimes that's what it seems like when you're asking someone to change their worldview. You're telling them, you need to change your perspective on the world. And it says, why? It seems like it's working out well. I'm pretty comfortable. But this is the only reason that they would ever move. If I told you, well, if you look at your foundation, you may not have looked at it recently, but it is crumbling. There's rats down there. All the cement is degrading and deteriorating. And you know, just in probably 4 or 5 years, everything is going to come crashing down. Would you move in that case? You probably would. You think about it, right? So that's the case of worldview. Everybody holds to a particular worldview very strongly. You know, we all have opinions and we all hold to them. And there's really no way that that's ever going to change. Someone's coming to us and telling us, you need to change your opinion on all everything. Most likely we're not going to do it. Unless they tell you, look, your worldview is not going to sustain into the future. It will come crumbling down the time you most need it. That's when worldview changes. When you need the answer to all those questions, and the worldview that you hold is not sufficient to answer them. The power of the Holy Spirit, recognizing that the foundation is not secure, that my foundation that I once held is not secure. And so, that's where we go find the answer in Jesus Christ, where the big questions are not answered by worldly philosophies, but only by the God of Scripture. The personal question of worldview is then, what narrative are you going to live your life by? What narrative? See, the naturalistic narrative will ultimately lead you into what? Extinction. Right? Nothingness. Demise, destruction, extinction. There's nothing left. There's no purpose. There's no meaning. All right, if we go to the very end, to the logical conclusion of naturalism, that's where we end up. So how do you interpret your life in that way? The postmodern narrative will lead you into confusion. There's no right or wrong. How do we ever make a decision? If I'm always right, and if you're right, what is truth? There is no truth. The moralistic therapeutic deism narrative will lead you into a false sense of security. To think that, well, I want to create an image of God that is fitting for me. And I just want to live my life the way that I want to. See, it's only the gospel narrative that is revealed to us by Jesus Christ in Scripture that leads to eternal life. I pray that that's the narrative that we will continue to live by. I'm going to read for us a quote from C.S. Lewis. This is I've shared this quote before, and I love this quote, so I'm going to share it again. This is what he says. I believe in Christianity as I believe the sun has risen, not only because I see it, but because by it I see everything else. This is the essence of worldview. C.S. Lewis was not a Christian, right, at one point, and he had a lot of questions that he needed answered for life, and he wrestled with it, mulled over it. But what he found was that it was Christianity that gave the greatest answer for him. It wasn't only about seeing one part of it, but through this worldview, he was able to see and explain all of life around him, to make sense of all the questions that he needed, to answer the biggest questions. No other worldview provided that for him, and it wasn't for lack of trying. He went after them. Right? He was a brilliant man who went after all the worldly philosophies and sought the answers from them. But it was the Christian framework that he needed to build his life. We all need this foundational framework from which we can build upon. And hopefully we understand that. At one point we were lost and we were found. What was the change? It's the worldview to think from the perspective of God, to know that all these worldly philosophies are trying to take us captive, and they will never give us the answer. They will never give us life. But it is only through Christ, when you build your life upon his foundation, that we are able to answer the greatest question. Who are we? Why are we here? Why do we exist? For the glory of God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We pray, especially in these next weeks, that we would be challenged to think your thoughts after you. Lord, that we would not simply seek to live in this world and our lives, taking bits and pieces of philosophies that are around us to put together just a picture of what we think is right or wrong. But Lord, I pray that we would seek your wisdom, for you are perfectly wise. Father, I pray that you would challenge us, if necessary, to let go of our sinful minds, the thoughts, the perspectives that hold us back from knowing you. I pray that you would replace it with Christ and his thoughts. Humble us. I pray for just a great humbling so that we may be able to listen well to your word. Father, I also pray for compassion as well. Lord, that you know, as we continually learn what you call us to know, Lord, that we would take your words and compassionately share them with the world around us, for they are in need, just as we are in need of you every single day. The world is in need of you. So may we share your great grace, and your great mercy, and your great love to those who need it. Father, thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, that you speak to us, and we don't have to guess what you say. But Lord, you are here and alive in our hearts. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.